I don't know about you, but Christmas time for me personally is not a time of tranquility and peace, but more a lot of actions, a lot of running, a lot of last minute things to get done. And when you hear the story that Brian read, the true story of the birth of Jesus in Luke's account, you could see that there was a lot of hustle and bustle going on in the souls of people and also in their actions around that time. There was registration for the purpose of taxes. That makes everybody nervous and somewhat lacking joy when that occurs. There was no room for people after a long trip. If you've ever experienced that, that can be a real, you know, add fatigue and frustration to what's happening. We took a trip one time. Let's just go to New Jersey. Forget about the reservations. I'm sure there'll be empty hotels once we get there. After 2 hours of looking, we took a very bad place to stay in. But Mary and Joseph, having the call of God on their lives, you know, the privilege of having good news of great joy come to them in the person of Jesus. And to remember in our souls that even though things might be quite difficult for us internally or in our circumstances, that Christ still comes and promises that he's going to take care of us in our souls if we surrender to him. And one of the first action songs I learned as a young Christian, I was 18 years old and very much concerned about fitting in. So all these Christians were singing this song about peace with Christ. One way to peace through the power of the cross. And you had to put your hands up. One way to peace through the power of the cross. And I felt very silly and self-conscious doing it, but the message really hit my soul. And peace at Christmas is meant to hit our soul, as the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. They weren't given a prophecy at that point. They were talking about what was really happening. And so that's something that the Lord would confront us with by sending the Messiah, the lack of peace in our lives. And in fact, it's been said, your ability to experience the peace of God is directly connected to your ability to receive his confrontation of sin in your life. So if you'd like the peace of God that Christ would bring, allow God to talk to you about the sin in your life. That he will bring peace to that area that causes you the most unrest. And as we'll see later, our ability to experience God's peace is also tied in to our ability to confront others when we feel our relationship with them is not in harmony and God wants us to do something about that. So I thought peace, the peace of God was just a song for the angels or just a gift that somehow I would be walking on the sidewalk and all of a sudden, like a cloud that rained on me unexpectedly, I would be walking in peace the rest of my life. I have discovered that's not the case. And I don't know anybody who that is the case for. But rather, peace is a gift from God in the person of Christ that you have to cultivate and be willing to maintain in a surrendered life. So peace on earth, goodwill to men is still the message that rings true to us. And there's a lot of great passages of peace about Christmas and the life of Jesus. He's called the Prince of Peace, of course. Love the prophecy in Isaiah of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. So there's an increase in the peace that Christ would bring. Other famous Bible pictures of God's peace in and around Jesus are a wolf and a lamb lying down together. And the wolf doesn't eat the lamb, so that's really good. And even if there's a wolf in your own soul, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's an appropriate application, but the Lamb of God can bring tameness to whatever problem your old sin nature has and count it dead to the evil that's there. Another picture is a child leading a calf and a lion. And again, no conflict there. The child is safe. The calf is safe. The lion is not hungry. So we're glad about that. Another picture is beating spears into plowshares, or if you want a contemporary application, people forming tanks into farm equipment. Probably could be done. Be quite a plow to have a tank turned into a farm machinery. Another picture is a child playing at the den of poisonous snakes and not being harmed. Something about God's peace, you know, taking away the threat that we see all around us. And Jesus is faithful to do those things presently and further in time. In the New Testament, Jesus is seen bringing peace to his troubled disciples and to the unbelieving folks around him. Jesus tells the storm, "Peace, be still." And so I think God wants us to look at our lives and see the storms that are there. And he speaks to the storm and that's still, but he also speaks, as the song says, to the wind and waves in our soul. And he says, "Peace, be still." And we need that. I'd rather have peace be still in here than peace be still out there. I don't know about you. But if peace is not right here, then it doesn't really matter what's happening on the outside. So the wind and waves obey him in your soul. And if you are in a storm, you're probably in a storm so that you can hear his voice say, "Peace be still." And he's strong enough to do that. The night before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "In me you may have peace." And his very next words were, "And in this world you will have trouble." So apparently, Jesus' peace doesn't take the trouble away. It is stronger than the trouble we face. And that's a good lesson to learn as we walk through life and put a lot of expectations on God that he is bigger than, but provides them in a different direction. After he raises from the dead, Jesus said, "Peace be with you," three times to his disciples. Some had doubts. Some were still fearful. They were hiding and prayerful, but he would bring them his own presence and a relationship with him. In the Bible, the word peace is really a big deal. And in the Hebrew, it has to do with all of life, not just part of our emotions. It doesn't mean completeness. There's something about being together as opposed to falling apart, you might say, in your soul. When you feel, "Well, I have it together," as a street phrase, or I'm in the zone maybe, that means you feel at peace. There's a goodness that is of God. It's part of his common grace and special grace. It means key relationships in my life are harmonious so much as it depends on me. That's a real practical way to say, "Jesus be the Prince of Peace in my soul." It's an acceptance to change what we can change and know what we cannot change and rejoice in both of those. Change what we can change, know what we can't change, and rejoice in both of those. It means to have health in our soul, to say it's well with my soul, and it means I'm experiencing God's salvation. And Jesus is Lord at this given moment. So there's a lot of applications in terms of what peace means to our soul that Jesus came to bring. God said when the Messiah would come, and he did come 2,000 years ago, there would be an increase of his peace. Now, I like that part of the prophecy a lot. It ties into a big theme in the Bible where God is already, but not yet. He was and is to come. So God's peace is, and it is to come. So we should have a measure of God's peace in our heart. That would be a sign as to whether we know Christ. And it is to come. It'll be more experienced later, of course. The favorite picture of this is in Hebrew chapter 2 about God's peace being past, present, and future. The passage says, God put everything under Jesus. That's a completed experience. God put everything under Jesus. You can't think of anything in the whole universe that's not under Jesus. Every square inch, every person, every rebellious angel and obedient angel under Jesus. And then the passage goes on to say, yet we don't see everything subject to him. So we say, oh, I see, yeah. There is still trouble in the world. There's still difficulty in my walk with Christ. God's peace, the increase of his peace, we want to have happen in our soul. That's true in missions. I heard the other day, there's 13,000 people groups around the world, roughly. And out of those 13,000, about 9,000 plus have heard the gospel, and a significant group has embraced the gospel, 9,000 out of 13. So that's how the momentum of Christ's peace has spread throughout the earth. That's a partial fulfillment of Matthew 24. And this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So the Lord is up to spreading his peace in the souls of men. That doesn't mean that the majority of Christians in every country. That means there's a church in 9,000 out of 13,000 groups of people around the world. And God's peace also increases in progressive sanctification. That is, when we yield our lives over to Christ more and more, we know his peace. So, ironically, peace comes from surrender to him, not our conquering different aspects of living or life. More comes from surrendering to Christ. And put some things on the board in terms of application that might help you. Receive the peace that Christ came to bring. And certainly we covet that in our own walk. To receive God's peace by continuing to ask. Jesus said, seek, keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open. Keep asking and it will be given. You want a close relationship with Christ. And he is your peace. So besides that being a gift, it will take some intention on your part. Yeah, you're in it for the long haul. That'll be your number one primary focus of your life. Jesus and who he is. How can I follow him? Somebody said the other day, which I didn't like, but they said it, and it was instructive. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me. He didn't spend a lot of time saying, worship me. That's interesting. Well, that's true based on the scripture. We are to worship Jesus. But I guess the worship doesn't make any sense unless we're following him. If we follow him, we will worship him. I guess I could worship him without following him, but that's where my life doesn't make any sense. So continue to receive God's peace by asking. I like this phrase, to know the goodness of God. Live your life before God, before the face of God. It was a favorite phrase of Martin Luther. And it helps us see Jesus beyond the sanctuary, into the marketplace, into the school, into the home, into the hospital room, into the funeral home. Lord, I want to live my life before your face. Can your peace be at the funeral home as much as it is your favorite spot of peace? Whether it's your devotional closet or your wherever it is for you. And one man prayed, Lord, let me be with you as you are with me. As God would come as Emmanuel. I'm continuing to seek God. Let me be with you as you are with me. And this is quite a thing in terms of the peace that pervades where we go. It means that you are always standing on holy ground. Now, don't be afraid of this, but I think you'll like it as you think of it. So whether we're worshiping or working, or at Walmart, I'll go with the W's here, or Wendy's, is holy ground. Why? Because the presence of God is there, and his peace is available to my troubled soul. Now, that makes it pretty powerful. If you're like me, you have a tendency to assign really holy experiences to certain places. Again, I mentioned devotional closet, sanctuary, family time, quiet time, away from hustle and bustle. I think those are the holy places in life. You know, the rest of life, Paganville. The problem is I live most of my life in Paganville. So I better be able to meet the peace of Christ there. In fact, the more I just assign to certain places shows that I'm more religious than Christian. If I'm Christian, I see the peace of Jesus wherever I go because He is there as the Prince of Peace and King of Kings. So to receive God's peace by continuing to ask for eyes that are open and to follow Him. A second activity we could do, receive God's peace by serving. In Philippians, when Jesus came, Paul said, have the same attitude that He had. He became a servant. He took the form of a servant. And one person said, they worked in the home and then they worked outside the home too. And they really found co-laboring with God and excitement in all the places they were at. And so they said, boy, I feel like I'm doing what I was created to do. I feel like I'm doing what I was created to do. That's something I think God would encourage us to have in our soul. That doesn't mean we get the right job, you know, at the right time, but it does mean we become the right person for any situation because of Jesus' righteousness. Receive God's peace by serving as He did. And there was a lady who spoke to all the pastors in the fall. The Spirit of God sets us on our feet and says, this is yours to do. There's a sense of fulfillment when we serve. There it is. Sense of fulfillment. I knew a lady who lived in the nursing home and lived there for about 4 or 5 years. And she really specialized at going around. She was virtually like a staff person there. And praying for people in her hall and visiting them if they wanted to visit. And by serving, she knew the peace of Christ in a place she wouldn't necessarily choose for herself. So that can help us. Troubled people during the Christmas season, when they do reach out to others, they find the peace of Christ. So that can be a great source of comfort and solace and strength in your life if you're having that boat there. Receive God's peace also by forgiving, 70 times 7. A big challenge that Jesus puts before us, that we can forgive as we've been forgiven. Talked to a person the other day, they said, well, I don't need to forgive anybody. And if I had a chance, I would have thought of it, I would have said, well, man, you're the first person I ever met who never had to forgive anybody. That's fantastic. Where do you live at? We are never more like Christ than when we are forgiving. We're saying, I cancel the debt. I don't think ill of you. I might remain cautious in terms of whether you'll be my good friend or not, but I can set myself free and to be in fellowship with Christ when we're forgiving others. And that often involves confrontation, as I remembered. Our ability, or as I mentioned before, our ability to experience the peace of God is related to how much we confront others or don't confront them. I mentioned to the teenagers the other day a true story about a young man I knew who was about to get married. And the night of the wedding rehearsal, when everybody left rehearsal, he and the groomsmen were in a car, and he was killed in a car accident along with another fella. And two guys survived. And, of course, all the families and everybody who was anticipating being at the wedding were just wiped out. And to make the matter worse, the accident came about because of a vehicle homicide by another person who purposely went up the wrong ramp because he was having an argument with his wife and he wanted to kill himself and his wife. And instead of killing himself and his wife, he kills the young man and another young man. Well, the family goes to the hospital and hoping, you know, their children survive. The two who don't survive, the families remain at the hospital. The other families who are watching over their sons stay and pray. And the ones who lost a loved one that night stayed at the hospital and prayed with the other family and say, we want to stay around to see how it goes with your sons because we care about what happens to them. And they had to deal with, you know, whoever did this to my family, how can I say, with God's help, I will practice canceling this debt? And it was a practice, but it was a surrender too for them to do that. And so you get a sense in a true life story of the strength of the peace of Christ. Stronger than evil, stronger than death, stronger than loss and a terribly broken heart. Receive God's peace by forgiving. And then receive God's peace by connecting with people. Someone said that there's no such thing as a happy person who's disconnected. You know, permanent solitude, you just weren't created to have that. And so 1 Corinthians 12 says, you are the part of the body of Christ, and each of you belongs. Story from the teenagers again. A monkey was put in a situation where they heard loud sound, rock music or something. If it was a teenage monkey, it would like it. If not, it would not like it. The monkey did not like it, and it became under great stress. And they measured the stress as scientists or measure anything. So measure the stress in the monkey, and so the scientists put another monkey with the first monkey and did the same sound to see what would happen. And the first monkey's stress level went down, way down, because it had a support team there, another person, another monkey. But you're created not to face life on your own, and the person beside you was not created to face life on their own. They were created to face it with another. Two are better than one, the Bible says. And the threefold strand is not easily broken. And so when you're connecting with other people, you're able to know the peace of Christ for your own soul, but also to pass that on to them. As this author said, welcome other people into the space where you and God have fellowship. Okay, it really does you no good if you're really, really close to the Lord. Some of you are. But you don't share that with other people. That's a unwrapped gift over there. And so God would have you invite people into knowing the Prince of Peace by you initiating and going to them. The shepherds, for example, they practiced number one, the first item in terms of seeking God. They took that trip and said, let's go and see the child. But as they did that, they did it together. They were in fellowship with Mary and Joseph, but they returned to other people and they praised God. So what actually they did, they looked at God and then they looked at people and they looked back at God. And they found that in fellowship like that, they knew the Lord and were able to rejoice. So make that a part of your Christmas celebration with the Lord. You look at Christ, and then you look at people, and you look back at Christ, and you say, I get it. Now here's one who was created by the Lord. Jesus died for them. And the peace of God would invade our soul. Thank you, Jim. God said his love and his peace would increase, and in living our life before the face of God, might we say, I look to God, I look to people, and I look to God again. And Jesus, be the peace in our soul that we need, a gift from yourself to us. Let's pray together.